Comedian Tig Notaro has a new memoir. It's called I'm Just a Person, and it's about the 4 months in 2012 when she was hospitalized with a bacterial infection, her mother died, and she was diagnosed with breast cancer, which led to a double mastectomy. Shortly after that diagnosis, Tig Notaro took the stage at a Los Angeles comedy club.
Hi, how are you? Is everybody having a good time? I have cancer. How are you?
That routine became a Grammy-nominated album, and Tig Notaro's career took off. Last summer, she got her own HBO comedy special, Tig Notaro, Boyish Girl Interrupted. It's available now through streaming services and will be released as an album next month. The special was filmed in Boston last May. I was there and spoke with Tig Notaro in August about her career's meteoric rise.
Well, yeah, I remember after 2012 asking my manager, when do you think this is going to die down? When do you think people are going to lose interest? And I was thinking, truly, in 2 days. And I was asking him that earnestly. And he said, I don't think it's going to stop.
So at the risk of being a spoiler here, but anybody who's read about you knows that one of the things that you do in your act right now is that you take your shirt off and reveal what your chest looks like now post cancer, post a double mastectomy. And when I was watching you do that, and I was there at the show in Boston that'll be on HBO, the first thing that I and I think other people in the audience do when we see you do that is it's hard to pay attention to anything else that you're saying for a little bit. But after not too long, you kind of get over it and you can just focus on what you're saying. Is that the reaction that you expected from the audience, or what have you heard about how people reacted to what you did?
I've heard that, you know, people's heads exploded and then they were surprised at how quickly they were able to focus again. And I think what was fun for me, because obviously I'm making a statement by taking my shirt off, but I also am doing it with silliness in that I don't acknowledge it. And I do what would be, I think, considered kind of hacky airplane material while my shirt is off. And I think that's what is so fun for me with the – and it's not a – when, you know, I did that for the special and I've done it a couple of times. But it's not something where that's just what I do on stage now.
You're not doing it everywhere.
No, uh-uh.
Why did you decide to do it? What was the statement that you were making?
Well, I really went through a process of having to accept my life, my illness, my body looking differently. And, you know, cancer is a huge deal. But in my healing process and getting comfortable with myself and my body again, I was just realizing that my body has healed, and so that shouldn't be alarming. It should just be – it's just good news. It's great. It's just not a big deal.
And there is reason to have humor as well, and you do that in your show. And you don't talk obviously exclusively about breast cancer, but you do bring it up. And I want to play a little bit of a clip here where you talk about going through airport screening. You go through a pat-down, and this TSA employee isn't sure whether you're male or female. Here it is.
She didn't feel a boob or a bra or anything. And she said, hold on a second. And she walked only maybe this far away. And she whispered something to the other officer. And I just heard him say, yes, I'm positive.
How do you get to the point where you're telling jokes about that?
Telling jokes about having a double mastectomy or being mistaken for a man?
I mean, I guess the two are sort of related, right?
Uh-huh. Well, I mean, I get mistaken for a man all the time. And usually my response is, oh, I'm actually female. And then I just move on in life. But getting to the place of having a sense of humor about a double mastectomy is just – I can't help but see things in life through – a humorous lens, so anything that comes my way is going to probably be, you know, bent in that direction. And I, you know, when I went through having cancer and losing my mother and other things, it took me a while to have a sense of humor again and to have confidence. I pretty much lost everything in my life, and I really lost all my confidence as a person. And I think it's just been just a steady walk forward, just trying to find myself and my confidence and my humor in all of that destruction.
How are you doing now?
Embarrassingly well. I just, it's something where I try to not hijack people's time too much with, I'm happy, I'm in love. I can become annoying, I think, to be around.
Is there much that you have not revealed, that you've decided this is walled off? I'm not going to even tell jokes about this because
I have so much I have not revealed.
That's for next year's special.
Yeah. It. My girlfriend and I talk all the time about how it's funny that people think they know everything about me. And there are some cards I'm holding close to my my chest. When I lost everything, essentially in 2012, it kind of, when you have nothing left to lose, it just takes a lot of that away, the holding close and holding tightly to things. But I think there's a time and place to share, and there's ways to do it, and we'll see.
Who are some of the comedians that you've looked up to over the years? And have you talked to any of them as you've gone through all of this?
Well, I loved Richard Pryor and Joan Rivers and Paula Poundstone, and there's so many comedians. And I never met Richard Pryor, but I met Paula Poundstone. I met Joan Rivers. I saw Joan perform months before she died, but I never talked to Paula or Joan about any sort of health or and none of that stuff. And now, I would say the comedians are more that I look up to are more directly involved in my life. People like Sarah Silverman and Maria Bamford and John Doerr. So many comedians that are just my immediate peers.
Did you ask anyone, though, any of your colleagues before you made that initial announcement on stage that you had cancer? Did you talk to anybody about, oh, should I do this, or was that something that you decided on your own?
You know what? I did have this conversation with – it's so crazy because I so admire Sarah. She's an old friend. She's somebody I go to about career and personal issues, and she always says the right thing. And I think in a protective way, she didn't want me to do that show where I shared that I had cancer and that I was ill with C. diff and my mother's death and my breakup, everything that was going on. She was very protective in saying, you know, you've been through so much. Why don't you just go on stage and tell a story about the time your wisdom teeth were taken out? She was trying to give me examples. And it was, I would say, the one time I didn't follow her advice. And, you know, I heard her out and I knew what she meant. And I know she was being lovingly protective. But I thought, I have to do this. And, you know, it changed my life. It's really a lesson that I learned after watching the documentary that was made about my life, where I was like, wow, I'm a risk taker. And I didn't realize that. And it's exciting to see what's on the other side of risks.
Tig Notaro, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
I spoke with Tig Notaro last August. Her special will be released as an album on August 19th. And some good news for her. She and her girlfriend got married last October, and they're expecting twins.